Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And, you know, happy June. We are starting to see the return to more in-person activities. It was a dismal time this time last year when we just saw the pandemic stretching out further and further. We had people getting sick. We had people mourning losses. But this year, it seems like we have seen a return to what is more expected this time of year, summer travel. And definitely in the Pikes Peak region, a lot of big milestones being reached, specifically the city turning 150 and the Summit House set to reopen its new building. That's coming up. So joining us today to talk about all these and much more, we are so pleased to have with us Chief Innovation Officer for Visit Colorado Springs, Amy Long. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Great to have so much positive to talk about with you today. Let's talk about, you know, expectations for the summer travel season, especially in the region. You know, anyone who was in the hospitality industry last year knows it was a very difficult summer to get through, one that definitely did not meet expectations of what they had been planning for, especially at the beginning of 2020. So let's talk about how expectations have improved this year.
Yes, we're in a much different place, a much better place, and our lodging tax collection, so when someone stays in a hotel, you know, they pay that 2% tax. They're projected to be $5.7 million this year, which is significantly higher than last year, but less than 2019. But I tell you, we're already ahead of pace. We just got the April report a few days ago, and we are 28% of the way to getting to that 5.7 million, and we're only a third of the way through the year. So usually we're not; those two numbers aren't that close because we wait for the big surge in June, July, and August. And anecdotal evidence is that hotels are filling up. The meetings situation is very full. We have a lot of meetings that couldn't happen in 2020, and they, as soon as they could, rebooked for 2021, so we're already having to book into 2022. So we are really expecting a great summer here in the Pikes Peak region.
And certainly the weather's cooperating so far. We haven't, you know, had too much of the stormy weather that sometimes is significant during the summer months that people might, you know, change their plans. And in the meantime, there's nothing really to get in the way of road travelers, people who are road tripping to the Colorado Springs area. And yet, there's also increased opportunities to travel by air as well.
Yes, we have great air service with all of the major airlines and the start of Southwest Airlines that started in March. And so people can get here nonstop or one stop from so many cities. Virtually everywhere is accessible. The pricing is really great. Our airport is small, it's friendly. And it's just a joy to use that airport. It's not a hassle. You're not dealing with really long lines and big crowds and long walks. So it's really my favorite airport to fly in and out of. And even though gas prices are a little bit high, there's so much pent-up travel demand. People couldn't and didn't want to go many places last year. And we just have such a great drive market here, people driving up from Texas as well as surrounding states. And just anecdotally, in what I saw this weekend and what people were telling me, is there was just a lot of out-of-state plates all over the place this weekend.
Right. And there are some states we should remember, you know, California, I believe Massachusetts as well, where their reopenings were much more delayed than what we saw in Colorado. I mean, we've had in-person dining for, you know, nearly half a year, if not longer, here in Colorado. So, I mean, it feels like businesses are really prepared to rebound.
Yeah, it really does. Sometimes I forget that other parts of the country aren't as open as we are. And you're right, you can get into any restaurant and the great weather allows you to still eat outside if that's your preference. And stores are opened, attractions are open. and hotels are open, and you don't have to wear a mask in the hotels anymore if you're vaccinated. So I think Colorado as a whole has done an excellent job of mitigating. You know, we can't get those that are still struggling with the disease, but there's just so much to be thankful for, and so many people getting back to work in the tourism industry, and so many jobs available. There's really a lot of opportunity if anyone is looking for a great seasonal job or the start of a long-term career.
Right, right. And speaking of careers, I know one career area where masks are apparently still required, because I was getting my hair worked on over the weekend. And so if you're going to a hair salon, I'm assuming barber shops, you may be asked to wear a mask still. But that's kind of the outlier, those sort of, you know, in-person kind of contact job relationships, business relationships. A lot of others you won't be asked, and certainly if you prefer and want to wear a mask, you won't be made to feel out of place anywhere. I haven't seen any of that, but if you are vaccinated and feel safe about not wearing a mask, certainly there's lots of opportunity for that. Speaking of areas where you know, you can breathe in fully maskless, let's talk about the Pikes Peak Summit Visitor Center. That is one exciting opening that we're looking forward to.
Oh, we can't wait. They're going to open to the public on June 24th, but a couple members of my staff are driving up the Pikes Peak Highway right now to get media sneak preview. So I can't wait
nice.
To see those photos and videos. And safe driving to those to Melissa and Sheridan. And then on June 30th will be the grand opening. And the building, the highway will be open at noon that day, you know, for the public. And it's just going to be spectacular. I've had a chance to see it twice now for during the construction phase. And everything that they put into that building just makes it more and more amazing with each fact that you hear. You know, the public is going to see the spectacular views. They're going to see how the building was built to coordinate with the summit of the mountain, and it just kind of starts in the ground and just kind of comes out almost, and from far away it looks like just kind of another rock formation at the top. There's going to be interactive exhibits that teach people about the animals and the plant life and the geology and the people history of Pikes Peak. And there's going to be expanded food offerings. It's going to be like a true food court with really amazing locally sourced foods. And I just read that the kitchen passed its inspection. So they'll be serving donuts that first day.
Hooray. That's what I was going to ask you about, those donuts, those famous donuts. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to do a whole section here just on the donuts. They're a very basic recipe, but it's special so that the donuts can rise and fully achieve their fully fluffiness at this high altitude. And they kind of always, to me, had a nutmeg flavor. And I don't know if it was, you know, the lack of oxygen or just being in such an inspiring place or the recipe itself, but all those things combine to make for a delicious donut experience. And now the donuts are going to have toppings, optional toppings like powdered sugar and nutmeg and cinnamon. So lots to look forward to at the summit of Pikes Peak.
Sounds good. I'm a purist, though. I'll take mine plain. But, you know, especially since they are so traditional. But I think the reason why I always look forward to how great the donuts taste is because you kind of had to wait, you know, not just the drive up, but then sometimes there was a wait in line to get your donuts. So, So, you know, the wait and the anticipation made them taste extra special.
Yep, and completely worth it.
Exactly. Amy Long is with the Visitors Bureau, the Visit Colorado Springs folks. She's the Chief Innovation Officer. We're going to be continuing our conversation with her coming up after these messages. Don't go away. You're listening to The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra and our conversation today with our guest, Amy Long, with Visit Colorado Springs, the area's chief marketing organization that helps bring the good news of tourism and hospitality from the Pikes Peak region to the greater world. So, Amy, let's talk a little bit. We're talking about our summer rebound. So you were talking about the Summit Visitor Center that is set to open on June 30th, a very important date with a grand opening then. But the Cog Railway is already carrying passengers up and down Pikes Peak in that very unique way. You can't experience this pretty much anywhere else in the nation, if not the globe.
Yeah, that's true. The Cog Railway, it's just so amazing that it came back. As we know, it closed in the fall of 2017 for repairs, and as they were checking everything out, they realized, no, this needs a rebuild. And so there was a lot of planning that went into that, and they decided it could be done, and they started that project in June of 2018. And so it's just so amazing to have it back, and it's even better than it was before, if you can imagine that. All 9 miles of the track are new. Half the cars are refurbished, and half the cars are brand new with kind of a sleek, modern look. And the depot has been entirely reimagined. It's gorgeous. They added a elevator to make it even more accessible. There's an upstairs and a downstairs gift shop, and just, you know, tripled, if not more, its size with all kinds of great things to buy, especially a sweatshirt. You want to usually get a new sweatshirt for the trip up, because the temperature will be 30 degrees lower at the top. Very refreshing at the top. There's an entirely new bathroom facility, and then you can a bridge to take you across so you can get on the train on both sets of tracks. It's just gorgeous.
Right. And for hikers, if you've hiked Pikes Peak, I can't say that I've been as ambitious as some of my friends who have done so. I know one person who would hike it almost every summer, but they would always try to take the Cog down. It made it a lot easier rather than have someone have to drive up and pick everyone up after making that big climb, that big trek. So it's nice to have the Cog back in action and able to deliver visitors to the top of Pikes Peak to get that gorgeous view. And also taken the new visitor center.
It is, and it's wonderful when you have guests coming to town, because most of the people that visit here, they do stay with friends and family, and you're always thinking, what can we do? And so whether or not you have visitors coming, our locals should also take advantage of this. And you do need reservations. It's possible to show up and get a ticket at the last minute, but it's so much easier to make your reservations online. And that way, not only have you taken care of payment and what time your train is going to leave, you get updated. They let you know what the parking situation is, because if their parking lot is filled up, you'll get a text that you should park down in Manitou Springs in one of the parking lots and take the free shuttle up. And there's a new bus stop that's just above the depot, and it just keeps you from worrying about anything at the last minute, you know? Right. I really recommend that people get those reservations ahead of time.
Yeah, I'm one of those who kept waiting for the, you know, right set of visitors to come that we would all trek up there when we had plenty of time to do so, and ran out of time and then thought my chance would be never coming again. But thankfully, it's opened again, and so I'm definitely putting that on the calendar for this summer. You talked about some of the various attractions and unique features of the Summit Visitor Center, but one of the things you didn't mention was how it needs to be so sustainable, because you are operating at that altitude. So why don't you tell us about, you know, how they designed this building, the visitor house, to be sustainable?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. There's so many neat details here that people could just take a tour of the building itself, you know, and have a great experience at the summit. But it's built to be LEED certified. And I know that that's a process, and the building probably has to be open for that to happen. But that is the goal, is that they have a net zero impact. And when I got that behind the scenes tour, we went into, you know, truly the back of the house, and they had these enormous tanks to hold fresh drinking water and what they call gray water and wastewater, and just how it all works together to have zero impact on the environment. The way the building was built, the way it's built into the ground for the geothermal aspects of it, the type of windows that they had to keep it, to keep it warm when it needs to be warm and cool when it needs to be cool. And they literally thought about every tiny detail. And Sandy Elliott was the project manager, and just very, very knowledgeable about it. And just they took their time. They made great decisions. And it's just really wonderful what they've achieved with this building.
Right. And I think they're encouraging people to bring up your reusable water bottles to fill up, because even though plastic water, water that's in, disposable plastic bottles might seem like the way to go in a situation like this, to not put the hardship of delivering water into someone's
Absolutely.
Water bottle. They say that they actually want to discourage their use because of the plastic waste that's created.
Yeah, and that is so true. Everybody here probably owns at least 10 water bottles, and we should be using them.
Right.
I just got one for myself with the hours marked on it, so I know if I'm ahead or behind schedule on my water. And just bring it with you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, we don't want to mess up our parks, our open spaces. We really want to follow the Care for Colorado principles developed between the Colorado Tourism Office and the Leave No Trace organization. And it's things like, leave it as you found it, pack out your trash, be careful with fire, and stay on the trail. There's these seven great principles you can find just by Googling Care for Colorado principles, and it's something that we should all know as residents here and share it with our visitors. So we spend a lot of time and effort making sure people know that they need to take care of this beautiful place so it's here for generations to come.
All right. And Amy, we need to take a short break right now. When we come back, we'll be talking about some of the events, not just on the mountain, but other places that you may want to jot down on your calendar because they're fun things to do for you and the family and any visitors who come your way. We're back with more
I'll
of the Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Today's person, we're very pleased to have with us Amy Long, Chief Innovation Officer for Visit Colorado Springs. And Amy, time to grab the calendars because you're going to tell us about some important dates. Let's talk first, anything going on around the mountain? Well, I know one or two that are going to be really important, especially for us here at KRDO News Radio. I'm talking about the Broadmoor International Hill Climb Pikes Peak. I think I'm getting the words mixed up. Brought to you by Gran Turismo. But we're looking forward to that on June 27th. But you tell us about everything going on, please.
Yeah, there was a great commercial about the hill climb right just now when we took a break, and I encourage everybody to go out and see that in person or watch it online. But our organization, Visit Colorado Springs, is actually doing a self-paced, fun activity for the rest of the summer called the Ultimate Pikes Peak Challenge that starts tomorrow. And the idea of the program is to bring people in from out of town, but locals can participate as well. And we've developed a free digital passport that you can download, and there's 25 challenges of things to do on Pikes Peak, around Pikes Peak, and in Manitou Springs. We've partnered with the Manitou Springs Chamber and also the Colorado Tourism Office to bring this to you. And by doing each of the challenges, like climbing the incline, eating a donut, driving the Pikes Peak Highway, riding a bike down the Pikes Peak Highway, fishing. We have 25 amazing challenges, and when you're done with it, you check in and say that you've done it and answer a very easy challenge question. And depending on how many challenges you finish, you can earn up to 6 embroidered self-stick badges that were designed here at Visit Colorado Springs by Melissa Williams. And they're beautiful. They're really retro, and they kind of have that Boy Scout, Girl Scout, Eagle Scout feel to them. And it's just going to be really fun, and it just will help people thoroughly experience Pikes Peak. And the other two things that are really making their mark this year in Colorado Springs is our sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary, and the Summer Olympics. So with the sesquicentennial, things have been going all year, but just this past weekend at Rockledge Ranch, they had the Beards, Bonnets, and Brews Festival, which was fantastic. I went, and there was great food from food trucks. There was all kinds of tastings you could have of local craft adult beverages, and a lot of booths of people's different businesses. And one of the neatest things I learned about was the African American Museum that's in the West Side Community Center that just tells amazing stories of people from our region that you just might not have heard about. And I'm really excited to go see that for myself. And then also stop by the booth that Mike Pock had for the Then and Now photos. He took a series of historical photos that most people have seen, recreated them, so he's got a series of Then and Now. It kicks off on July 8th at Library 21C, and it's the Then and Now photo exhibit. And they're just wonderful to see how it was and how it is, and at the same time you see how things have changed, but also how they've stayed the same. And then there's a gala for the sesquicentennial, which does mean 150th anniversary. The gala is on July 17th. And then sort of merging with the Olympics is kind of between like Thursday, July 29th and Sunday, August 1st. There's just going to be a lot of fun things going on in town in relation to the Summer Olympics, especially on Saturday, July 31st. There is a festival. Well, first off, you can go to see the library exhibit in the morning. Then there's a parade downtown at noon called the Parade Through Time. And then the COS 150 Festival that goes immediately after the parade through 8 o'clock. And that'll be near the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Museum on Vermejo and that new beautiful space they've made just for these types of festivals.
That is so many great events there, and certainly enough to fill the slate on any of our dance cards. Punch them off. I did look. Apparently, you need to be an out-of-state resident to sign up, or maybe not out-of-state, but out of Colorado Springs to sign up for that passport that you mentioned. Is that correct?
Oh no, it's open to anybody. We're advertising out-of-state. Because that's always our goal, is get people to come here and stay in a hotel. But I always like to make sure our citizens know about these things because they're so much fun. So they can have all kinds of fun on Pikes Peak and earn badges. And then they can also download the Crafts and Drafts Passport and get a lot of buy one, get one frees at craft beverage places that do beer and spirits and wine and cider and coffee. So both Crafts and Drafts, that is already launched. You can just search for it and see it on the homepage of our website, visit cos.com. And then the Ultimate Pikes Peak Challenge launches tomorrow.
Oh, there is nothing about that I don't like. It sounds fantastic. Okay, and some of the challenges include apparently climbing the Manitou Incline, which I know there are plenty of people who live in town who have not tackled. So that would be something that would maybe encourage folks to get out there and do that.
It's such a neat experience, and you do have to have a certain level of fitness, but it is really for people of all abilities. You go at your own pace. You do make online reservations now. That started during the pandemic and is continuing because it really helps throttle the number of people that are on it at any given time. It helps with parking. And so there is parking at Iron Springs Melodrama, which is just below the COG Railways Depot, but there's also great parking in town in Manitou and at Old Man's Trail, that road, and you can get a free shuttle, and that's really probably the best way to go, just to avoid the traffic and the extra time and taking that shuttle, because you don't want to use all your energy getting to the base of the incline.
Right.
That's usually my workout, getting from town to the base of the incline, and I'm done. But it's 2,700 steps, and that was rebuilt several years ago, and the steps are much more even now, and there's wonderful changes they made to avoid erosion. And it's just the thrill of a lifetime to get to the top. I've done it 3 times in my life. And when you get to the top, you turn around and you look out over Manitou and Colorado Springs, and you feel like, and you maybe can see all the way to Kansas. It's just an amazing experience. Another challenge is a fun one, that along the Pikes Peak Highway is the Bigfoot sign, and there's a pull off right there, and it's a great place to stop and get a selfie with the Bigfoot crossing
Sasquatch.
Sign. You know, yeah. You might even see him. He'll be blurry if you take a photo, but that would be fun. And there's just so many ways to get to the summit. We talked about the cog. The Pikes Peak Highway is an amazing drive, with the switchbacks and all kinds of places to stop for views. And then hiking up Bar Trail, the summit is open to hikers starting tomorrow. But when you hike up Bar Trail, you want to be in the right amount of fitness and have the right gear and know what you're doing. But you can hike it all up in one day, or you can hike up to the camp at Bar Trail and stay overnight. And you get a spaghetti dinner, and you can have breakfast in the morning. Again, this is by reservation. But it's just the perfect combination of people taking care of you and roughing it. And then you can make your final ascent in the morning. And like you said, make reservations, come down on the cog, or arrange to have someone pick you up or walk back down or run back down as they'll do in the Pikes Peak Marathon that is also coming up this summer.
Yet another thing to put on the calendar. All right, we're talking.
Oh, yeah. People are going to be busy.
They are. We're talking with Amy Long with Visit Colorado Springs. We have more of the conversation coming up. Need to take a short break right here. You're listening to The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with all things you need to know in this community. Well, at least that we are focusing on today. I feel like today, especially right now, we need to have some sort of great Western tune to get us in the mood, because we are talking about some Western happenings as only they are happening in Colorado Springs. And we're joined on the phone by Amy Long, who's with Visit Colorado Springs. Okay, Amy, we're ready to saddle up and giddy up. So why don't you tell us about some fun things coming our way?
Absolutely. You know, one of the attractions that reopened last year after being destroyed in 2012 by the Waldo Canyon fire was the Flying W Ranch. But not easy to reopen during a pandemic, but they did it. And I got to go to one of their dinners, and it is a phenomenal. It's always been phenomenal, but you should see it now. They have a new lodge that is so spectacular that has garage doors all the way around it. So if they want to open those doors and turn it up into a pavilion, they can. It looks like the quintessential, beautiful Colorado lodge with timber beams and giant fireplaces, a beautiful raised stage, and a huge LED screen behind the Flying W Wranglers. So sometimes when they're playing in this building, they'll have something really cool behind it, that kind of like a music video almost. The food is even better than before. Mm-hmm. Delicious barbecue with all the traditional fixins there. And the Flying W Wranglers are just, they're just so beautiful. Their harmonies, the campfire songs, the cowboy songs, the Western songs that they sing are just gorgeous. And it just always puts you in a great mood. And, the outside area where you eat is made from timber from the fallen trees from the fire. And these are massive, gorgeous tables that just really are striking and just make for a beautiful outdoor experience, when the weather is like it is, this week. And then they have a lot of animals in terms of, because it is a ranch, and they wanted to really bring back that ranch feel. So they've always had the horse, but now they have oxen, and they have turkeys and chickens and donkeys and little horses, and so it's really fun, and the train is still running. So you really do have to, whether it's just you and your family or out-of-town guests, is go to Flying W Ranch, and they're at flyingw.com. And if you want to see them even sooner, is come to the street breakfast. The Colorado Springs Western Street Breakfast is this Wednesday downtown Colorado Springs from 5:30 to 9. The event itself is free. The Flying W Wranglers are playing, as well as Exit West. There's fun activities for the kids, like a dress-up contest and roping and things like that. And for $5, you can get pancakes, scrambled eggs, juice, milk, and coffee. It's delicious, and it's so much fun. Right there at that intersection of Tejon and Pikes Peak, you can buy tickets there, buy your token, like you buy a wooden token, and that's what gets you your breakfast, but you get to keep the token. But if you want to buy ahead of time, you can just search for the event on Eventbrite and take care of it that way. And just in case there's a line at the time you show up, you've already got your ticket and get right to breakfast.
I am already salivating over those pancakes. You had me at pancakes. All right. So we've talked a little bit about the Olympics, but I mean, this is a big deal, as you know, Colorado Springs is known as Olympic City.
We are Olympic City, USA. We are home to the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, Training Center, and now the museum. And this museum is a must stop. So if we happen to have a hot day or an afternoon rain shower, there's just never a bad time to go to this museum. It's in downtown Colorado Springs, right across the tracks from America the Beautiful Park. You take an elevator to the top and you just go in a spiral direction through the entire museum. No stairs whatsoever. You have credentials around your neck, and you've told them your name, what's your hometown, what your favorite summer and winter sports are, what accessibility attributes might be helpful for you, such as larger type or audible exhibits. And as you walk up to an exhibit, it will react to you. It would say, "Hi, Amy. Check out this, you know, tumble by Mary Lou Retton," and things like that, if I told them that, you know, gymnastics was my favorite sport. There's a wonderful gift shop. The Flame is a restaurant that's right there on site. And the building itself is a work of art, and you just marvel at it. There's interactive exhibits, very high-tech, but you also get to see all the torches and the medals throughout all the years. It really is a spectacular experience and really makes you know that we are Olympic City, USA.
Right. And I know folks who are listening, they may be having visitors come into town and they're setting aside maybe these events and activities to do on their calendars. But this is also an ideal summer. I mean, we came together so well to support restaurants and such through the pandemic. This may be the ideal summer to come together to support all those businesses that are rebounding because they were involved in the tourist industry. The tourist industry pretty much shut down last summer. We didn't have the abilities that we do now to travel as freely. So this might be the time to still continue coming together and think about being a tourist in your hometown.
That is so true. You know, you get yourself a hotel room, you eat at our local restaurants, and you take advantage of our outdoor activities, our wonderful attractions, and you can do it all by visiting visitcos.com and ordering a free visitor guide or stopping in our visitor center at 515 South Cascade. You can take one visitor guide, you can take a box of 50, whatever works for you, and you can just really plan an amazing staycation in Colorado Springs.
Oh, Amy Long, our guest today, thank you for joining us here on The Extra. And to our listeners, thank you for sharing in this program. You've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.